And I've really struggled with this morning about a message out of wherever. And really not quite sure where this is all going to wind up with this message this morning. There's a lot of things that are swimming around in my brain and in my heart this morning, and I hope to make sense of it and kind of sort it out a little bit here. Message that's been kind of building and brewing over the last week or so. And one of the things that's been weighing heavily on my mind and on my heart is the state of affairs in a little old bitty backwater town by the name of Rock Springs, and some things that are going on there. And so hopefully I want to talk to everybody this morning, but everybody's going to have a little different take on it, because what we're going to look at in this passage is look at leadership. And so don't tune out right now, because when I say leadership, you know, and you're not the head of a corporation or whatever else, then you think that this doesn't apply. It applies to everyone in the room. You're a leader in some area. You're a leader in some aspect. There's somebody looking at you. Somebody looking at what you're doing and what you're not doing. And so by virtue of that, you are a leader. And there are some principles. There are some things in play here. And I want to try to bring a few things out. And I wish I had a poem and three steps and all that sort of thing, but you're just going to have to grab a hold of what comes your way and see if the Lord wants to talk to you about any of these particular areas. Leadership and your leadership personally is in view here this morning. And so look at it personally, even though I may be talking corporately or maybe talking about national or whatever is going on, but take a look at it in a personal way. Listen, that's what Scripture's about. The Lord wants to talk to you about what's going on and meet you where you are in your life and what's going on in your life this morning. And He wants to change you, right? We've been talking on Wednesday nights and even last Sunday morning about perfection and being perfected in our faith. And the idea of being perfected is to reach maturity, to be mature, to live up to your potential, to live to your upper limits in the Christian life. And if we're going to do that, then we have to take the book personally. We have to take the teaching personal that the Lord lays out for us. That's one of the values and benefits of Sunday school, is that you get to take it personal. You get to be up close and personal with your Sunday school teachers and be able to ask questions and have a give and take. Now, the give and take in here is still there, but it's much more subtle than it is in a Sunday school class. I feed off of what happens in here, and you feed off of what happens that you receive. And so there's a give and a take that we have in here this morning. And so I want you to tune in. I want you to think about this in a personal way this morning. And I'm not really trying to single out any one particular thing or any one particular group or person or any of that sort of thing. If that gets singled out in your heart and in your mind, well, then praise God. All right? Because it's the Lord that's putting His finger on that. And not necessarily the messenger. I don't have an axe to grind with anything or anybody in this. So I lay that out to begin with here this morning. So we want to take things as they come if we can. Joshua chapter 5, looking at verse 13. It says, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him, with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. You remember that 40 years earlier, in the process of time, 40 years earlier from this day, from the time that we're reading about right now, 40 years earlier, Joshua had been one of two out of a total of 12 that had spied out the promised land, who had voiced an opinion that Israel should advance and take the promised land. He and Caleb, being those two voices, had announced to the group that they felt that God was in charge and that he could come through where nobody else could. Well, they were voted down. They didn't win the vote that day, and it cost them 40 years. And the rest of those voices died in the wilderness. Caleb and Joshua persevered. Now all of those no votes are dead. And Joshua is in charge of the people of Israel. They're in a land where they are facing a monumental obstacle. The monumental obstacle that they are facing in this new land, in this promised land, is the city of Jericho. That's where they find themselves, right up against Jericho. They've crossed in a miraculous fashion. They set up a pile of stones as a monument to what the Lord had done. They've come across there. They've been circumcised, pick up the law. They've had the reproach rolled away there at Gilgal. They're ready to proceed on into taking the land that is before them here, and standing right smack in their way, right in the middle of the path that they have to go through is Jericho. Well, Joshua, you still want to take the land? You still want to take it? Well, his vote's still yes. But there stands this huge fortified city right there in the middle of everything. Well, now, we know that the walls come tumbling down, don't we? We know that. But he's on the other side of that. We're on the back side. He was on the front side. He was staring at the walls. And they were formidable walls that he was peering over at. We don't even get a clue as to what he was facing in that day. We have no idea what it was to stare at a 9-acre compound with two sets of walls around it. One wall on the outer perimeter, 20 foot tall, 6 foot wide. An inner wall that's 30 foot tall and 12 foot wide. And you got a group of people that are coming up with spears and arrows and a sword or two. And they're coming against this fortress. And him being in charge of this group of people and knowing that he's got to get rid of Jericho, or everything else that they want to try to accomplish is going to be of none effect. So how'd you like to be Joshua in that day? How'd you like to be the leader of God's people and stand in there staring at this 9-acre compound wondering what in the world you're going to do? Well, maybe you and I, we might stand there and say, let's just go around it. What do you say? I mean, after all, it's just 9 acres in the middle of nowhere out here. Why don't we just go around it? Forget that rascal and go on and get something done. What could possibly harm could happen if we leave that thing there? You know, that's the attitude and the idea that a lot of Christians have. Now, everything that we see here has got a spiritual connotation to it, got a spiritual illustration and a spiritual significance. They're in the promised land. They're not in heaven, all right? This is a land flowing with milk and honey, but it ain't heaven. And as they're passing through this life and walking this way, what they encounter is an enemy that's fortified and stronghold up in there. And that's what'll happen when you say yes to the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll, you know, go like a great balls of fire headed forward, you know, and talking about the Lord and doing this and that and the other. And if you're not careful, what you'll do is you'll forget about some things in your life and they'll come back to haunt you. And what we do is we leave some things all fortified up in our life, and we don't tackle it, we don't root it out, we leave it there. And friend, if you don't take the things out that need to be taken out, they will come back and they will cause you problem in your life. Listen, them old habits and them old things, they got to be dealt with. Attitudes, all of those things, they have to be dealt with in our life. If we leave them like they are, they will continue to surface and they will continue to drag us down, and we can't live the overcoming life if we're going to make accommodation for some things out there that shouldn't be there. You got to root stuff out. You got to root the enemy out of your life. You got to root the enemy out. You got to get rid of those things that are going to keep you from being your very best for the Lord. And so this is a picture that we have here. You leave these people on your flank, you're always going to be looking over your shoulder. You never know when they're going to come sneaking up behind you and take you out of the battle. So they got to go. You can't leave or make an accommodation for the enemy to stay behind you and keep your flank occupied. You can't keep one eye on them and give your full attention to what's going ahead. Everybody with me so far? I wonder if there's some things in your life this morning. I wonder if there's some things in your life that you've made an accommodation for. You make an accommodation for something, it'll hang around, and I guarantee it'll deal you misery. You can't ride the fence in the Christian life. You can't keep one foot in the world and one foot in the church. You gotta make a decision, come down off the fence somewhere. Isn't that right? Being a lukewarm, mediocre Christian, the Lord says, I think I'd just vomit that thing out. Huh? That's what it boils down to. When you make accommodations, you become tepid. You become tepid. You become very lukewarm in things. And then if we're not careful, then the lukewarm, the things that we've made accommodation for come springing back to life, and they take over the life that we have. And so they come face to face with Jericho. It's entrenched in the land, and they need to deal with it. And if they don't deal with it, then Jericho wins. Now, I think it was about that time, maybe, that Joshua remembered what the Lord had said to him. Look at verse 5 in the first chapter of Joshua. It said, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. You know what? We know the promises of God sometimes, but many times when we're facing a big problem, facing something really big, we tend to wonder how in the world that's going to come true, don't we? I know that he said he'd never forsake me, that he wouldn't fail me, that he'd always be there for me, but man, where are you right now? Where are you now when I'm facing this big uphill climb? Where are you now when I'm facing the fortress that's before me with all of this? Yeah, I know that you said you'd be with me, but that was before we got to Jericho. That was before we got over into this spot right here. Anybody but me been there? Huh? Where you wondered? Where you had those moments of a little bit of doubt creeping in? Yeah, I know you said, but where are you? I know you said you'd make a way, but I don't see it. I don't see anything that can make a difference here. Now, I want you to think about Joshua. He's been placed in charge of the people of Israel here. And every decision that he makes is going to affect men and women. And friend, every decision that he makes is going to affect the children. He's got a lot of weight on his shoulders. What he's facing the fact of, as we come to our passage here this morning, what he's facing the fact of is that here he has this Jericho that's entrenched in the way, and some people are going to die. In order to get this thing out of the way, in order to dig this cancer out, it appears that somebody's going to have to give their life to get it done. Now remember, he don't know them walls are coming down yet. All he knows is that this is the next step in the progress and that they have to go through this place. And so he's out here this night. He's out here this evening wandering around. I wonder, would you do the same thing? Huh? I think about how many times I've wandered around on the grounds on this place, wondering what to do, wondering which direction, wondering how to go about something. Just wander around out here. Talk to the Lord and look. And I see Joshua doing that here. Wandering around, he knows that there's fixing to be a conflict. And he knows it's going to affect people. And he knows very likely that it's going to cost some people their lives. And when it costs this man his life, there's going to be a wife that's going to be grieved. And beyond that wife that's going to be in grief, there's going to be children that are going to be affected. Children that won't have a daddy. Children that are going to be in mourning and grief themselves. He's got a huge weight on his shoulders. And he goes and looks. How am I going to do it? Which way are we going to do? How are we going to make this work out? What's the best decision for all of the people? How can we get this done with the least number of casualties and the least number of problems? He's facing some really tough decisions right here on this day. Do you see that? Folks, it's a whole lot different when you're watching Moses make decisions than it is when you're having to make the decisions yourself. Whole different ball game, being an armchair quarterback and being the one where you're sweating the details of what's about to take place. Joshua's out there alone. He's out there alone under the weight of his command, under the weight of his position, and he's looking for a way to get through this problem. Anybody that's ever filled a leadership position knows a bit of how Joshua felt. As a pastor, decisions that I make will have an impact, and it'll impact every family. So many times you see and you look at someone that's made a decision, you think, well, they made that decision very lightly. Well, they didn't really think that through. Well, I have to tell you that probably the exact opposite is true. Because leaders understand that it affects people when they make a decision. And more generally than not, much thought has gone into decisions. Sometimes leaders make it look easy, but it's not, especially when you've got people that are going to be affected. You know what? Deacons, what they do and how they go about it affects the whole group. Teachers, how you teach, what you say, how you conduct yourself, your attitude, the atmosphere in the classroom, all of these things, all of that makes a difference. Leadership, parents, what you allow, what you don't allow, what you share and what you don't share, how you go about things. All of those carry consequences. How we conduct ourselves. See, it's all leadership. All the way down the line, it's all about leadership. With leadership comes great responsibility. In leadership, it's no longer I. In leadership, it's about we. How are we going to do this? What's the best thing for us? I wonder who's going to get hurt when we go through this. We don't want anybody to get hurt. But realistically, we know sometimes that with the decision, somebody's going to get hurt. And it's going to affect a family. It's going to affect the kids. It's going to affect the whole group. In leadership, you lose the right for it to be about you. That's just it. You lose the right for it to be about you, because now it's about us. In leadership, you also forfeit your right to speak your mind a lot of times. Because speaking your mind may not be the best thing for us. Because now you're in a position of influence, and you speaking your mind can create issues where it didn't need to be created. Leadership always comes with great responsibility. To those of you that would say, well, I'm not a leader, I'll do what I please, I say this. As long as you're a part of the body of Christ, somebody's watching you. Somebody's paying attention to what you're doing and what you're not doing. And you better take that seriously. Because the Lord certainly does take that seriously. In Romans chapter 14, he says, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. So as Joshua searches for a way through this great obstacle, he goes out by himself. Harry Truman once explained that being president boiled down to moments of profound loneliness. He talked about there being a multitude of counselors in the lead up to a decision. But in that moment of decision, there came those moments of profound loneliness. Making a decision that will affect everyone. No one else can make the decision. No one else can put their name on the bottom of the bill. And he said that becomes a time of profound loneliness. Joshua had his head down. And then he looks up. And when he looks up, there's a man there. And the man that he sees is ready for battle. I'm not talking about he's getting ready. I'm talking about he is ready for battle. The man that he sees has his sword drawn. He is engaged. He's ready. Joshua doesn't hesitate. Or at least we're not shown a hesitation in him. He approaches the man immediately. And he demands to know something from this man. He demands from him to know whose side this individual is on. Now at this moment, there's a nation that is united behind Joshua. They are in tune. They are in harmony. They are unified behind this leader. And this leader of this entire group goes out with the force of all of that unity behind him. He faces this man that is ready for battle, and he wants to know whose side this man is on. Let me say this, unity and harmony are vital to fighting the good fight. Unity and harmony are vital to fighting the good fight in the Christian life. Friend, if everything is divided into factions and such as that, with no unity behind any type of leadership, friend, the end can't be far off. We are designed to be a part of a body, and that body has to function well together. Man, when that body doesn't function well together, it's easy to see, yet hard to watch. Hard to watch that. And the end is altogether too close for that. So we got a leader that everyone's united behind. He's a leader that can be trusted. And all the Lord has to do in order to lead a nation, in order to get his people where they need to be, all he has to do is get hold of the heart of that leader. You see that? All he has to do is make sure that he gets the heart of that leader, and what he has then is the heart of the people. That's the beauty of unity. That's the beauty of harmony in a group. So that when everyone is united behind that one, then the Lord, all he has to do is move that one to get what he wants accomplished done with the entire body, with the entire group that is there. He asked the question, are you for us or for our adversaries? And in verse 14, the man says, no. Nay. That could be a very disconcerting answer, couldn't it? Are you for us or are you against us? And the man says, no. Well, which is it? For or against? Neither. Now, how can that be? How can that possibly work out for us? You're standing here with your sword drawn, ready to fight. I'm obviously ready to fight. And you're not for us, and you're not against us. And then the realization comes. He says, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And the realization that Joshua has at that very precise moment is simply this. Oh. Oh. There's a lot that's in that verse right there. There's a lot of emotion. There's a lot of realization. There's an epiphany in there for Joshua. A man with the weight of the world upon his shoulders, taking very seriously what is about to happen here, and not seeing that there's a way through all of this, clearly and evidently at this moment, but now being introduced to the captain of the Lord's host. And what's being said there is, no, I'm not for you, against you. Where are you? What's your decision? Are you going with me or are you against me, is what the Lord says. See, it's not about these two factions here. It's about what you're going to do with me. And so what happened here is you have Joshua humbling himself before the Lord, and the Lord making a way through an impossible situation as he hooks up with the Lord to go his way, you see. Cares of the world, the weight of the world on his shoulders, carrying around some weight needlessly when the Lord had already told him, if you get on with my program, go my way, I'll never leave you, I'll be there for you, I'm going to be your guide, it's all going to be okay, we're going to go my way. Many times as leaders, we decide that, we know better sometimes or whatever. We got to be careful with that. Now, we're at kind of a juncture right here where I want to pause for just a moment. Everything that I've talked about here with leadership can be driven down to each and every level of person that we have in this room, because somebody is always watching everybody here, which makes everyone in here a leader, okay? And there's, as a leader in this room today, there have to be decisions made. With the weight of the decisions that you have, what are you going to do with that? How are you going to progress with the weight of the world on your shoulders? Well, you first of all have to recognize that there must needs come a time for us to humble ourselves under the Lord God Almighty and allow Him to be the leader of our life. Amen? And so many times we flop around and swim around in things that we don't need to flop around and swim around in. It's of our own making, and the Lord allows things to take place like that so that He can get our attention and get us to the place where we finish being the Lord of our life, to where we're finished being the king of our own destiny, so that He breaks through and brings us to the very simple realization that it's going to go a lot better for us if we go His way than trying to do it our way. I took about 40 of our people here to Rock Springs a couple of weeks ago, and very difficult situation, and I knew that it was a difficult situation when before we got there. There was trouble in the church. And we had pastor on one side and deacons on the other side of the equation. And an untenable situation coming to a head. And it finally did. And so on last Sunday, a hasty business meeting was called. And members that hadn't darkened the door of the church in years showed up to vote and voted a pastor out. Leadership. Now, in the wake of that, you've got a whole town that's been caught up in it. Whole town that's seen the dirty laundry of the church that's been put out there to air for everyone. It's the subject of all conversations around that little town because it's big news. You get a fight brewing down at the church, and buddy, it makes the front page. And so all of this has gone on. All of this has been put out there in the public. You got one group that went one way. You got this other group that's now going to break off from the church. And looks like there might be a possibility that they're going to start a new church somewhere. All of this, things like this. You got side picking going on in the church. You got side picking going on in the town. Everybody's picking a side. Everybody's picking a group that's going on. And in the midst of me thinking and praying through some of those things, this passage just kept coming up in my heart and in my mind. Whose side are you on? Mine or theirs? Whose side are you on? You on the church side or you on the preacher's side? Somebody needs to stand up and say, no, I'm on the Lord's side. I've had some talking in one ear for 4 weeks now. I've had others talking in the other ear for 4 weeks now. As a neutral somebody, and that's been my answer. Well, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? What are you? And I tell them all the same, no, not on your side. I'm on the Lord's side. The Lord's not in any of that. The Lord ain't in any of that. You got a group that stood up over here and got their neck up about something, and a group over here that got their neck up about something, and the Lord ain't in none of that. Y'all need to pick the Lord's side. And until y'all pick the Lord's side, He's going to have a black eye in this community. Now, y'all know about that, don't you? Huh? Right? You've seen the effect of that. Do you realize that the odds are greatly against any church that goes through a split? You are living something that is altogether uncommon. Uncommon. It is uncommon for a church in this day and age to go through a split and survive. You've beat the odds. The Lord has brought this group through against all odds. That's not the norm. And it breaks my heart. Breaks my heart to see what's taking place back over there. Pick a side. You with us or against us? Neither. Y'all grow up. All of you grow up. Get back where you belong with the Lord. And when you get back where you belong with the Lord, you'll see the damage that has been done here. It's time for repentance. It's time for some people to put their big boy pants on. Now, I bring that up today because I've got 40 people here that have an emotional attachment to some people and some situations that are going on back there. And if you, I would venture a guess that many of you that have gone, that went with us, have been contacted or got information from different individuals that are back on the ground, and that you're kind of heart is tugged in the direction of the folks that kind of hung around and worked with us and were with us and served alongside of us and some of those things. And you know what? There's nothing I can say about that. That's going to have to work on its own. But here's the deal. Be really careful how you proceed. Be very careful how you proceed with advice and with consolation and all of those types of things in this. Because what we don't want to do, oh, be careful. What we don't want to do is pick a side. Don't be picking no side. Because both of those sides have done so much wrong. Two sides, three sides, six sides to every story. Amen? Be careful where you fall on that. And here's where I've already told you where I fall with it. I'm not on your side. And I'm not on their side. I'm on the Lord's side. And let's get this thing right before it gets completely out of hand. And if you're praying, and I trust you are about all of that, you pray that God would get a hold of the hearts of the people of that church that they might move towards God and move towards the center, and that they might iron out some differences. I'm not saying they have to hang together, but I am saying they need to iron some things out to the glory of God. Amen. That He'd be glorified in all that's said and done. Right now, it's a laughing stock. That church is a laughing stock in that village. How do you know? I have people that aren't church people ringing in the ear in the back of my head to tell me how much they enjoy what's going on. Leadership. Leadership. Whose side are you on today? This can be a lesson for us, can't it? This can be a lesson for us in unity and in harmony. A lesson to us in how to continue to conduct ourselves in a right fashion with what we have here. Not taking for granted what we do have. Huh? I love this fellowship. And you know what? There's always a little old rumble here and there of something going on. You hardly ever escape any of that. I mean, I'm not an idiot. I've been here for 14 years. I just look like one. All right? There have been times, you know, of things that have passed through, but that's the key. Things by and large in this fellowship have just kind of passed through that were negative. There hasn't been anything that's been latched onto, grabbed as something that we could, you know, want to marshal forces behind, and the next thing takes place with all of that. I'm so grateful to God for that, that we've had great unity and great harmony over the years. And boy, man, we just can't get used to it and take it for granted. And when I see things like have just taken place with a group of people, it reminds me again of how fragile that is, how absolutely fragile that unity is, and how fragile that harmony is, and how bitter and rancorous the other can be. And so I say to you today, oh, be careful about side picking in the church. Be careful about doing side picking. Man, when it comes down to picking sides, the best thing to do is just let somebody know, you know what? I'm just going to go with the Lord. I'm just going to go with the Lord. I'm not on this side. I'm not on that side. I'm just with the Lord. And move through. We're coming into a time now we've got with the Lord that's moved some people around, doing some things with some of our different leaders and such as that. And we've got a lot of folks that have needs and things like that. So we're going to have to go through another period here in the end of the month and first of next month where we're going to go through another deacon qualification process. We're going to need to bring some more deacons on. And as we begin that process again, I'll bring a couple of messages on that and what we're looking for and, you know, what we're the process that we're going to try to go through. I'll bring those and get our heads tuned in and so that we're all headed in the same direction. But listen to me. A time like that can be a time where we can lose focus of what we're supposed to be about. And so I want to use all these things as teaching opportunities for us. We need more help. We need some more servants to come alongside and to be a part of that ministry. And we've got some great candidates here. Got some great candidates. And so that process we'll outline in such as that, but I need you to start praying about that today. And as we add to leadership, my prayer is that it wouldn't be something that would divide. To divide us up. Well, I like so-and-so. Or I want so-and-so. Or why don't you want so-and-so? Or why not this one? And go into picking sides and doing silly stuff. You know what I mean? So let's pray about that. And let's mean what we pray and be leaders and look for good leaders and keep our unity and keep our harmony where it's supposed to be as we go through a very difficult, can be a very difficult process. Just because we live through it once don't mean we live through it again, huh? We're not looking to just survive. We're looking to thrive as we go through the process. And it's needful. We've got a lot of things going on, and we need some folks to be serving in that capacity. So here's a great example for us of how not to conduct ourselves. You've lived through one in the not-too-distant past of how rough that can be and such. Let's learn from history. Amen? Let's learn from history. And be careful of the or with us or against us stuff. And just make sure that we stay where the Lord wants us to stay. Okay? So maybe not just a three-point message in a poem, but maybe just a warning, maybe just a reminder of where we are and how we ought to conduct ourselves and what we ought to condone and what we shouldn't condone with some of the things that are going on in places around us. Amen? Very good. I thank you for that kind attention on all of that. We'll see if there's anything else that I had that I needed to make sure we went out with. Oh, yeah, there's a good ending right there. Verse 15. And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Notice he took off one shoe. Didn't say shoes, it said one shoe. And so in taking off that shoe, it's reminiscent of the covenants that were made of that day. In that day, a covenant made between two individuals in which one of them had the power to keep the covenant and the other one did not. The weaker one handed the stronger one his shoe as a symbolic way of saying, I can't, but you can. Take this, I can't, and you can. And so this is Joshua at this point understanding, I can't deal with all of this, but you can. And he hands him his shoe. So Joshua left the camp with two shoes on and burdened with a purpose to go out there and save the world. And he comes back with one shoe on, one shoe off, walking light on his feet with an improbable plan and a resolve to carry it out according to the will of God. See, God's good about showing up at the last minute there and having a plan that just defies the imagination, defies reason at times, because He's a supernatural God. I like to see what God can do. How about you? God does things different than the way we do them. If you want to see that and put into proof of that, read chapter 6 and see God's plan for taking down the wall of Jericho. Remind yourself and refresh yourself with that. Amen? He don't do them the way we do them. I'm sure that wasn't Joshua's plan when he walked around out there that day to figure out a way for the walls to come tumbling down. God works where we takes up where we leave off. He goes beyond what we can ever think or imagine. And I, for one, am grateful that He's the one that has the shoe in this case. Amen? Maybe there's something in your life that you've been dealing with. Maybe there's issues in your life that just keep surfacing or whatever else keep coming up. Maybe today you need to take your shoe off. Take your shoe off and give it to Him. Go home with only one shoe on. And tell Him, Lord, I can't. But You can. And let Him be what He said He could be to you. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He might exalt you in due time. Here's my shoe, Lord. I can't. But You can. Let's pray. Stand for prayer.